This slot that Beth Hashem we have on Tuesday nights is it's more of a, like we call it Sichas Chaim, which is topics about life, topics about that we might not get in the base medrash in the normal setting. It's not so much halachic; it's more of hashkafic messages about life, things to think about. Again, if there's any topic that that you'd want to be spoken about, let me know, and we try to do it. Emunah topics, Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. I think 2 years ago, maybe we'll do it again this year. I'll go through some of the Mitzvos Tmidios try to connect, you know, the special secrets of Torah given over at night, the Rambam tells us. Dafka not in a base medrash setting. There's a couch. On the one hand, it's dangerous, but on the other hand, it's comfortable. Try to connect in different ways, but this is a very special way to connect. And it'll be more of a sichot shmuzin than regular shiurim. Even if it'll be a shiur sometimes, it'll be more of a in hashkafic realm and more lamaisa how to connect. So just to start, as you see the title for this year, sicha, just things to think about as we start any zman, really as we start any time of our life, but specifically the zman, our year or two or three, whatever it is in Eretz Yisrael, things to think about. And just by way of introduction, before you get to the Mar Makom on the sheet, just one other Mar Makom that I forgot to put on, but it's really Yisod Gadol in life. It's the Ksav HaKabbalah at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. We know, Maamar Har Sinai, if anybody looking around, anybody needs any pens or pencils? If anybody wants any, feel free. Maamar Har Sinai, we know, is recorded twice, Parshas Yisro, Parshas Mishpatim. Mishpatim is the less famous rendition of Maamar Har Sinai, but that's why we have Nasa V'Nishma. The two most famous words we said, Parach Avdal Pasuk Zion, 24/7. We have Nasa V'Nishma. There's nothing coincidental in the Torah, even the non-Jewish prakim that were made, Parach Avdal Pasuk Zion, 24/7. But in any case, at the end of Mishpatim, that's where Moshe Rabbeinu describes the karbanos. Or the Aseres HaDibros, obviously, or in Yisro, but the karbanos and the sprinkling of the blood is all at the end of Mishpatim. And then there's a phrase that's used that the Ksav HaKabbalah, Rav Mecklenburg, picks up on. They say that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said there were four great gedolim in the 1800s that so much of their essence was basing and showing how Torah Shebaal Peh is rooted in Torah Shebichsav. I mean, the reform movement was becoming strong in the 1800s. So four of the great gedolim in Europe took it upon their shoulders to show how the connection and of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and how Torah Shebaal Peh is alive. And they were the Malbim, Rav Hirsch, the Meshech Chachma, and the Ksav HaKabbalah, Rav Mecklenburg. That's a illustrious group that's put together. But Rav Mecklenburg picks up on two words at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as a consuming fire in Eish Ocheles B'toch Ahar. And he wonders, why is it that Hashem is described like a consuming fire? Fire is usually something dangerous, something negative. Why is Hashem described, kaviyachol, as a consuming fire? So again, this is not on your sheet, but I'll read it to you. L'dayti eina mechuvan vazel ashvos l'damos es marak vod Hashem al esho cheles bechuso. This is not chas v'shalom to say that Hashem has anything to do with fire. Fire is something physical. It's not tangible, but it's physical. It's in this world. Hashem is on fire. Hashem doesn't have a goof. Chalil olanu l'hagshim kvod Hashem el dvar gashmi. So what's the message? Says the Ksav HaKabbalah. And again, this is a yesod for us right now at the beginning of the Zman and at every stage of life. Every religious experience, we have to think about this Ksav HaKabbalah before we get that experience. Before every Shabbos. Before every Yontif. Aval bala hodia echa yahapela agadol azeh shezachu bo kol Yisrael l'rotzes kvar Hashem. This is describing Maamar Har Sinai. It's describing the experience. Hashem was a consuming fire. What does that mean? Maamar Har Sinai was not an equal experience to all of those present. It's not that everybody had one Maamar Har Sinai. We all got the Torah. No. Rak kol echad mehem hisig v'ra be'ein ruchniuso. Mimara haruchnius asher lefanav lefi erech hachanaso b'shleimus nafsho. The experience was a function of how much they prepared for it. If people prepared more, then the experience of Mamad Har Sinai was a deeper, more intense experience. People prepared, everybody prepared for 3 days somewhat. But if people were focused and prepared and were ready for it, so then they got a lot out of it. And if people just winged it, whatever you call it, and they just like, yeah, Mamad Har Sinai, then they got less out of it. It was a more diluted experience. It all depends on the hachana. That Mamad Har Sinai didn't affect them as much. It depends how much they made themselves a clay kibble, a receptacle for ruchnius. What is Eish Ocheles? Fire affects all items in the world differently. If you have wood, fire does one thing to wood. If you have metal, it does something else to metal. If you have straw, it does something else to straw. If you have a rock, depending what the item is, the combustibility of the item, what fire does to it, that depends on the experience of how much it burns. Depending how spiritually combustible we made ourselves before Mamad Har Sinai, that determined the experience of Mamad Har Sinai. That's why Hashem is described as an Eish Ocheles, a consuming fire, because Hashem affected the experience of meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyacho. No, that depending on how much we prepared. And that's the pshat of Kimara Kvod Hashem Ke'esh Ocheles. This applies to every spiritual experience in life. The more you prepare for a Shabbos, the more we're consumed by the Shabbos. The more we prepare for a wedding, the more you get out of the wedding. The more you prepare for anything. Everything, every experience in life, especially in the spiritual realm, is a function of how much we prepare for it. Now, lahavdil. It goes to any experience. I think I mentioned this in the past. I don't know what year it was, but whatever year it was, if anybody's from America, you know, baseball is big in America. So there was one year that the Red Sox hadn't won the championship for like, I don't know, 80 years, whatever it was. And there was one year that they were going to win. It was the seventh game. My brother-in-law is a... It's from Boston, I live in Eretz Yisrael, he had a business trip, so he happened to go to the last game. And he brought another colleague with him, who had no idea what baseball was. He had no asaga about anything. And he comes to the stadium, and everybody's going crazy, and nuts, and like sitting there, okay. And this happened, exciting, screaming, and he's just sitting there. You got the most amazing event, but if you're not prepared for it, if you have no idea what's going on, if I didn't get ready for it, then it's meaningless. It doesn't affect me. Lahavdil. Many times. Every spiritual experience depends on how much we know about it, how much we prepare for it. Pesach. How much do we prepare for Pesach? So the Zman. How much do we get out of the Zman? The Zman can be an Eish Ocheles. And this Zman is the year. Elul is the Pesach of the year. It's the mezuzah of the year. Funny. We Jews, we take ends and always make them beginnings. El is the last year of the last month of the year. But we like make it the beginning. Because we have to prepare for the real beginning. Right? We take the end of the month and we make it Yom Kippur Katan. Right? The middag of Psalm. We take the last day and it's the first day. It's preparing. Because we want to get the most out of it. So as we start a Zman, a year, we have to think about this Ksava Kabbalah and try to get the most out of the experience. So what are some things to focus on? What are some things to focus on, again, any year, but especially this year as well? And again, just to note, we don't take it for granted that we're all basically, Baruch Hashem, able to sit in this house. Those who were here last year, we weren't able to be in such close quarters at the beginning of the year. We had plastics, we had this, that. So who knows what tomorrow will bring. But right now, Baruch Hashem, we're sitting together and we're enjoying and we're, not taking anything for granted and great to be together. Four ideas. About attitudes that we have to have. Number one, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us in Perek Hey, that's the Perek of all the numbers, 7 of this and 4 of that and 10 of this. So there, the Mishnah tells us, Shiva Dvarim Begolam. There are 7 midos, characteristics of a golem. What's a golem? Hard to translate. An unformed individual, right? A golem, as in the golem of Prague. A golem means not a completely formed person. really a person, but somebody who is somewhat lacking. What's the opposite? The Shiva B'Chacham. The opposite of a wise man. There are seven midos of a Chacham and seven midos of a Gola. And the Mishnah lists off the midos of a Chacham. Chacham ein amadaber b'fnei misha go gadol mimenu b'chachma. A Chacham does not speak in front of someone who's wiser. They get to speak first. They don't nechnas adoch dir chaveiro. He doesn't interrupt his friend. They don't nival lahashiv. And he's not, when he answers, he thinks about it. He focuses on what he thinks about what he wants to answer. And then he gives an answer. He doesn't just blurt out. Umeshiv kalacha. And he answers properly. V'omer arishon rishon v'alachron achron. He answers the first. He has three questions. Let me go through your questions. Here's the answer to number one. Answer number two. V'alma, this one we're going to focus on. Almasha lo shama, omer lo shamati. And when he hasn't heard, he says, oh, I haven't heard that. That's the meat of a wise person. And what he hasn't heard, he said he hasn't heard. What makes that wise? Was that what? He should say, oh, I know that already, and he doesn't know it? That's a liar. You can be a very smart, wise liar. Why is this a meat of a chacham? The other ones we understand. It shows, you know, you want to hear from somebody wiser, you answer in order. Almasha lo shama omer lo shamati. What's that mida? And what's the opposite? What's the opposite of a golem? Almasha lo shama omer shamati? What he didn't hear, he says I heard? That's just a liar. That's not a golem. What's the exact opposite? Almasha shama omer shamati. That's the exact opposite. What I heard already, I say I've heard already. That's a golem. And what's a chacham? What I didn't hear, I say I didn't hear. What does that mean? Says a rav, there's a big doctor in Yerushalayim. He's also a big rav, Dr. Abraham. His name is Avraham Avraham. Over here, is going into medicine, pre-med. Can't go without the Nishmat Avraham, which is Dr. Abraham Sefer on medical ethics. It's the, I think, that one of the only art scroll Sfarim that has a Sephardic title. Because he's Sephardi. So when he came out the Sefer, he says, I need my Sefer to be called Nishmat Avraham. It's translated from, he's not Nishmas Avraham. Right, he's Nishmat, so it was okay because he's a Sephardi. Anyway, so I heard this shot from him. So he says, Almasha Shama Mar Shamati, that's a Gola. A Chacham is Masha Lo Shama Mar Lo Shamati. What's the shot? Sometimes you can go into a shir, and the whole shir is new ideas, it's amazing, it's wonderful, it's so. There's a half a percentage of a Gemara that I once heard. Oh, I heard this already. I know this already. The rabbi's repeating himself. He said this last year. Right? What's he doing? He's talking about tshuva again? Forget it. I know it already. You can have everything new. But like this, sometimes there's people in our shuls. You know, it's a whole razzle down, amazing drasha. There's one little mucker that like he quoted 6 years ago in a Shalom Zachar. I heard this already. That's a golem. Masha shama omar shamati. What's a chacham? You can hear a shir that you heard everything already. You heard a shir on this topic already. There's one nuance that's said in a different way. There's one thing expressed in a, wow, that's great. I never heard that before. How that was expressed. The thirst, the interest, the desire for growth. Amasha lo shama omar lo shamati. Oh, I never heard that before. The first step is an openness for growth and a rut zone for growth and wanting to learn new things, new topics, new methodologies, just newness, and not to have the attitude of I know it already. Now sometimes we have the attitude, and we all have a little bit of it, some of us more, some of us less. Whatever age we're at. Now, this is, I have a certain derech halimud. I have a certain way I like to think. This is the type of Torah that I like. I'm into this, I'm not into that. You could plug in whatever, you know, right to left, chasidus, misnagdus, whatever you want to call. You know, on the daf, off the daf, this, that, whatever it is. This is me. At this stage of our lives, and I say that, but at whatever stage of our lives we're at, we have to be open. Meaning, certain things connect to us more, for sure. And all of our brains work differently. We just said, every Maimon Har Sinai, everybody had their personal experience. But it's crucial to have the attitude that I can learn from many different sources. Many different Rebbeim, both physical Rebbeim and Rebbeim texts. To have the attitude of Amasha lo shama amar lo shamati. The attitude of there's so much more to learn. There's so much more to grow from. And so much more, you know, and we have to learn from everybody. I gave a shiur a couple weeks ago in a bungalow colony. A bungalow colony is one of these places where families go to in the country, and they go, and the wives and family are there, and the husbands come up on the weekends in the summer. Anyways, on a Motzei Shabbos, they invited me to give a shiur there. So there was one guy that came over to me afterwards. I've listened to his shiur for many years. He never met me. But I'm saying, but he said, okay, this is not about me. This is just about him. But he says, I love Rebbeim that quote everybody. It's not like one, he said to me, he says, I'm not a YU guy. You can see that. I said, yeah. He says, but you quote A, B, C, D, E, F. I'm like, it's all Torah. And we all have to try. And I say, the fact that you recognize that and that you appreciate that, that says something about you. That we can learn from many different sources and many types of, again, different styles of shiurim and topics. That one person will be more into this and more into that. That's fine. But our attitude has to be Alma Shalosh Shama or Malo Shamati. We have to try to have the attitude of openness and recognize that I need to grow and I want to grow and I can't be set in my ways. The Chazon Ish once said, the most dangerous attitude for a Ben Torah is a Beinoni Beshita. This is me. This is me. Me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have an understanding. You know, and this is who I am, and this is how far, this is how I daven, and this is how I learn, and this is this, and this is how what my Seder looks like, this is what my Shabbos table looks like. That's a very dangerous attitude. I'm kind of closing ourselves off. We have to do what we can to always realize there's always new things. There's always new things. Again, there are studies in the secular world out there that a large percentage of growth and direction in one's life, in Torah or in out there in the world, is between 18 and 23. Those 5 years. So much is determined. It doesn't mean, chas v'shalom, that you don't grow after 23, and it doesn't grow that you don't grow after 30 or 40 or 50. Life is growth. We always have to have Kabbalah. They say when Rav Shach turned 100, they asked him, Rebbe, so many words, he's like, you always have to have Kabbalah. He's like, what is Rebbe Mekabel? I'm going to bench with a bencher. That's your Kabbalah? The bench with a bencher? So he said, do you bench with a bencher? When you bench with a bencher, you have better Kabbalah. He says, I'm going to bench with a bencher. He was growing at 100. Right? But so much growth happens in these years that so much of the direction of our life is determined. Again, people can change, obviously. But we have to take what Hashem put it into us that we could grow in a super way these years. We have to be open to it. Rabbi Yonah writes in Pirkei Avos on the Mishnah, Lo Achshav Emasai. The person is like a tree. You know, when a tree is small and young, then it's still a little flexible which way it's going to go. It could grow this way and that way. And if you see it's a little crooked, it could still be straightened out. Once a tree gets gesunta, strong, big trunk, you're not moving it. Very hard to move. You're going to need like a crane. It's going to be very hard. Once we're set in our ways. Last week's parsha, ki adam eitz hasada. Right, we're like a tree. So we have to do what we can to try to get ourselves, you know, in the right vein. Rav Hirsch writes in one place, what are the words pru revu mean? Pru is from the word pre, product. Revu is from the word rovet, an archer. Rovet kashas, an archer. The job of a parent or a rebbe is to try to angle the arrows, to shoot the arrows in a certain direction, right? So the growth happens in a certain way. But we have to try to be open for it. So that's number one. Again, the 4 points we're going to make tonight are obvious, but it's good to review them. So number one, to try to be as open as we can, to always have the attitude of Im lo achshav emasai. And that might even include different languages. Different languages. It might even include that. It's harder. It's hard. I remember my early years in yeshiva. I had no idea, and especially if they talk low and fast. But we could try. We could try. Whether it was in a harusa, just in the hall, in a shir, whatever it is, we have to do our best. Number one. Number two. There is a story that is told. You might have heard it before. Rav Schwab quotes the story in source number three. In Maran Beis HaShoeva, Rav Schwab says that he once met the Chofetz Chaim. He was met the Chavetz Chaim, Shabbos Kodesh, Vayakob, Akude, Tafrei Sadi, 1930. Right, the way, the easy way to switch the years is add 40. As long as you know the century, then you just add 40. So Tzadi is 90, you add 40, 1930, right? Tafshin Pei Aleph, add 40, 2021. So as long as you know the century, you know, you just add 40 years and you can get the English date. So here, Rav Schwab met Rav the Chavetz Chaim a couple of years before the Chavetz Chaim was Iftar, and he had a very unusual conversation with him. The Chavetz Chaim says to him, "I'm a Kohen, you know that?" Rav Schwab says, "Yeah, the whole world kind of knows that. Yisrael Meir HaKohen from Radin." So he asks him, "Are you a Kohen?" "No, I'm not a Kohen." "Why are you a Kohen?" "Because my father wasn't a Kohen." "Why wasn't he a Kohen?" "Because his father wasn't a Kohen." "And why was..." He keeps going. He's like, "Why are you a Kohen?" He says, "I'll tell you why you aren't a Kohen. Because thousands of years ago, my Alta Zeta said, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, 'Mil Hashem Elai,' who is on my side? My Alta Zeta listened and heard the voice." So I was like, "Okay. What's the message? That's pretty hardcore. What's the Chavetz Chaim trying to get across?" So let's go to the next source for a minute. There is a Gemara in Maseches Tainis on Daf Chaf Aleph, one of my favorite Gemaras. The Gemara tells us the story of Ilfin Rabbi Yochanan. Ilfin Rabbi Yochanan with two very good friends that were in yeshiva together, and Ilfin is not as famous as Rabbi Yochanan, as we'll see why. But it was time to leave yeshiva. They had no money, and they were going to leave. They both decided it's time. They have to stop learning. And they left yeshiva. Havigarsi baraisa dechika lo milsa tuva amri. They said, "Nekum and ezel and evediska. Let's go out and make a living." Vedekayim and afshin efes klo yibachav yon. You know, we have no food. So they went ozli tuti gude reiya. They went and they sat down for a picnic next to a rickety bridge. And all of a sudden, Rav Yochanan heard two malachim in Shemayim having a conversation. Also, tre malachi asharis. Shami Rav Yochanan the amrcha v'chavrei. Nishti alayu haid gude v'nitilidu. Let's throw this rickety bridge on them. Why? Because they're leaving Chayei Olam. One of them is destined to be the Gadol Hador. How could he be leaving yeshiva? Or I already gave it away. I'm sorry. Let's dump the they're leaving Chayei Olam. And the other one answers, "Wait, one of them is going to be the Gadol Hador. Don't throw the bridge on them." Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ilfa, did you hear that?" I was like, "No, what are you talking about?" "No, Ilfa, the conversation you just heard with..." He's like, "I don't know what you talking. I didn't hear anything." Rabbi Yochanan's like, "If I heard it and he didn't, I must be that one. I must be him." Rabbi Yochanan says, "Sorry, Ilfa, I'm going back." "We just decided we're leaving." "I have to go back. I'm sorry." So Ilfa leaves. Rabbi Yochanan goes back to yeshiva. Rabbi Yochanan becomes the Gadol Hador, author of the Talmud Yerushalmi, becomes Rabbi Yochanan. And Ilfa was a great Talmud Chacham. The Gemara in a few places quotes him. They say maybe he was even sharper than Rabbi Yochanan, but he didn't go back. So I heard many years ago from Rabbi Meir Tversky Shlita, one of my Rebbeim, 12th grade. He said, the Gemara gives like a negative approach to Ilfa, like, we kind of fault Ilfa. Why was it his fault? He didn't hear the Malachim. Only Rabbi Yochanan heard the Malachim. So why would we fault Ilfa a little bit? So Rabbi Tversky explained, really both of them could have heard the Malachim. But only Rabbi Yochanan was tuned in to the right frequency. It could be an unbelievable shiur on the radio, but if you're not on the right channel, you're not going to hear it. Rabbi Yochanan was on the right channel. Rabbi Yochanan heard the call of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He heard the Malachim talking. And that's the galus of Rabbi Yochanan. What the Chavetz Chaim was telling Rav Schwab is, so often in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice, he's talking to us. He's telling us things. Not in explicitly nevuah, but there are ways that Kadosh Baruch Hu talks to us. It could be just making a bus, it could be just missing a bus. It could be opening up a sefer and seeing something that you just had been thinking about, talking about with your chavrusa from a different state. You're like, whoa, I was just saw that Hashem talks to us in a lot of different ways. We have to be open to hear the voice. Right? The voice of having a chavrusa in this. The voice of you know, working on this midah, whatever it is, but to hear the voice. I once heard this in the context of a fascinating question. Think about the end of Parshas Noach, we're introduced to Noach. The beginning of Parshas Noach, we're introduced to Noach. Noach, Ish Tzadik, Tamim Hayu B'Derosav. Unbelievable introduction. Go to the next week's Parsha. Avram Avinu, how we introduce to the first Jew. Avram, Lech Lecha, go.
That's an introduction.
Noach, Ish, Tzadik, Tomim, Abram, go. Where's the introduction? Nothing. He doesn't even have the hay yet. It's just Abram. So the pshat is, the greatest introduction that we could get is that we heard Hashem talking to us and we followed through on what he told us to do. That's the greatest introduction in the world. Noach Ish Tzadik is great. But Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, there's nothing like hearing the Dvar Hashem. So we have to do what we can. Maybe somebody asks us for a chavrusa. Maybe somebody, you know, wants to, you know, says something to us that puts something in my head that I should, whatever. Everybody has their own ways that Kadosh Baruch Hu talks to each of us. But let's try to be on the divine frequency. Right? It's not going to get easier, Be'ezus Hashem, to have an Elul getting ready for Yom Ha'aron that you're in yeshiva. Right? And we have to do the best we can to get the most out of it, to take it with us for our lives. Because when we're not in yeshiva, we're going to be in great places, but we might be in a yeshiva where we also have secular studies, we also might be working, we also might have family. There's a lot. This year, it's focused on our own growth and trying to hear the voice, trying to hear how I should shape my schedule and myself in order to get the most out of the year. So number one, we have to make sure to be open. To be open to all different drachim, all different Torah, all different ways of thinking, what we can do. Both literal rebbeim and also rebbeim in different areas of Torah. Number two, we have to try to hear when HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to us. We have to try to think of the messages and things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us in all different ways. Hashem talks in all different ways to us. So we have to be open. Number two. Number three. Third idea. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, famous Gemara, Pechest, Source 5. Kadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over our heads like a barrel. Why a barrel? Good kasha. Not for now. But Hashem held the mountain over our heads like a barrel. Kavah l'marka gigis. And he makes us an offer we can't refuse. Amatem akalam asar Torah mutav. If you accept the Torah, great. And if not, sham take v'raschem. I'm going to drop the mountain. And many mefarshim ask and are bothered by that one word. Sham. I mean, there's going to be your burial. What should it say? Kan, po, here's going to be your burial. What do you mean, sham take v'raschem? So I once heard of pshat. Again, many pshat are given. So I once heard of pshat. If you accept the Torah, and you recognize now that it's a good idea, and you say, okay, yes, I'm going to do it now, great. If not, shum. If you had the attitude of then, yeah, when we get there, I'll think about it, I'll let you know. Take Varaskan, that's the burial of the idea. Procrastination and delay of good ideas often leads to the idea not happening. Zrizus plays a major role in our growth in Avodas Hashem. Shum, take Varaskan. Sham take for Aschem. We have to make sure that when we have the attitude of growth, right, we do like what it says in Perkei Avos. Right? If we have the idea, do it. Al tamar lo kishefna eshna. Shema lo tifna. Maybe we won't get the chance. Do what we can, even if we're not totally feeling it at the moment. If I know this is what I want to do, I have to try and do it. You know, if I know I want to, having more focus in this part of tefillah. If I know this, if I know that, if I want to work on my tefillah, if I want to work on my patience, if I want to work on having kavana by hamapio and not like just hitting the pillow, you know, whatever it is, we should try to do it. I've quoted, I didn't put it on the sheet again, but I've quoted in the past, it's a beautiful Rashi in Sefer Shmuel. Sefer Shmuel, David HaMelech asks Nasan HaNavi, I want to build a Beis HaMikdash. Is that okay? Nasan says, go for it. Go for it. Go build a Beis HaMikdash. The very next pasuk, Nasan, during the night that night, Hashem comes to Nasan and says, Nasan, you got to go tell David. Go tell David. No. It's not going to be him. It's going to be his son. But go tell him that he's not building the Beis HaMikdash. Asks Rashi. He quotes Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa of Siyum fame. He quotes Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Why did he have to wake Nasan up in the middle of the night? He says, Nasan, go to David. Why can't he tell Nasan? David can't build. After davening tomorrow, while you're wrapping up your tefillin, go over to David, please, and tell him, you know, it's not going to be you, it's going to be your son. What do you have to go tell him? Wake him up in the middle of the night. So Rashi says,
unbelievable.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Nasan, you think David's sleeping? He was given permission to build the base of Migdash. You think he's sleeping? He probably has half the arrangements done already. He's probably been on the phone with contractors. Where's the lumber coming from? Who's going to be the carpenters? Where's the gold coming from? He's probably having... If you wait till the morning, it'll probably be all done. You need to go now. David is a mahir. He's someone who acts with alacrity. Someone who has the idea. He does it. Look at the wait and delay. That's the message. When we think about it, when we're able to do something, we just got to do it. Right? We have to do it, and we have to focus on it. Right? The Chovetz HaTalmidim says, conquering atzlus is such an avoda that we have in our life. But we have to make sure that we do what we can to be able to put it in, to again, to have the openness of growth, to have the ear open, to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking in the different ways. When we hear it, we have to do it. We have to try not to push it off. I've always wanted to have a Seder of Mishnayos. Okay, have a Seder of Mishnayos. Right? To do it. Figure it out. Figure out a time. It's before we get to yeshiva, we think to ourselves, what am I going to do all day? There's so much day, all day learning. And when we come to yeshiva, we're like, where's all the time? I need more time. That's when we know we're doing something right. When we realize we have no time, and we have to squeeze in whatever we need to do, that's a sign of success. There is one other point to mention along these lines, and that is, and when we think it's too hard and it's not going to happen, you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you Siyata D'Shmaya. Hashem gives us Siyata D'Shmaya. We have to just try to do our best. It's a beautiful thought I once heard, I think originally from Rabbi Yonatan Sacks, he might have said this, but the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Elishua ben Hananya, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, the first one, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, he was a bar sid she'enu ma'abe tipa. He never forgot anything. Never forgot. It was like a bar that water went in, not one drop was lost. Bar sid she'enu ma'abe tipa. So we read this mishnah. So the question is, why is that in Pirkei Avos? I don't have a photographic memory. So Rav Elazar ben Arach had a photographic memory. Rav Elazar ben Hyrcanus had a photographic memory. So why does Rabbi Yonasi think that's worth it to put into Mishnayos? You know, so you want to write Pirkei Avos, and the Chazon Ish made a bracha when he was 2 years old. And he never had, a kippah on when, whatever, all the, that's not Shaykh. Why is Rabbi Yudan Asi putting this into Pirkei Avos? He was a Boris Hishay and a Mami Tipa. What does that have to do with me? He was born with photographic memory. So the answer is, he wasn't. He wasn't. The Mishnah in Chesukah, last week's Daf Yomi, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches, says that Rabbi Eliezer, Stam Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, Eliezer says, nobody ever beat him to the Beis Medrash in the morning. And nobody left after him. Meaning, if he was born with a photographic memory, he doesn't have to work so hard. What does the Gemara say? He was the hardest worker in the whole yeshiva. Meaning, he wasn't born with a photographic memory. He worked. And Memela, the work, that's why he was Bar Sid. And the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, it's one of the early Midrashim. Why is it called Pirkei Rabbi Elazar? Because the first part of it talks about the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. And it tells us that he didn't know anything originally. Amarlo, Shani Mevakesh Malami. We don't have time to go through the whole story. He was crying. Well, I guess we have to start a little bit. Let's start a little bit earlier. Yashavo Agavi Manevay Bocha. He was sitting on a plow shear and he was crying. Amarlo. So his father said to him, why are you crying? What? It's too much hard work? He says, no. Why are you crying? Shani Mevakesh Lomo Torah. I want to learn Torah. Amarlo Valo Ben Esr Mishmona Shonimata. You're 28 years old. You don't know anything. He had a rutzon until finally he had Siyata D'Shmaya. And he was the hardest worker, and that's what made him Bar Sid She'enu Ma'abe Tipa. See, he wasn't born with it. He worked, and Hashem gave him a bracha. So when we want to say, can I do it? Do it. Hashem will give you a bracha. Point number three. So number one, be open. Number two, be listening. Number three, do it. And finally, fourth and final idea, this is like a balance of what we just said, but it's crucial. This week's parsha, be realistic. The Divrei Mordechai, Rav Mordechai Elio, former chief rabbi, a lot of amazing stories about him, but he has a couple of sets on Chumash. Kisivna Bayis Chadash, when you're building your house, when you're building your house of dreams, of what I want to accomplish and where I want to be, V'yasisa Ma'ake L'Gagecha, make sure you put a gate up. Meaning, if we have to, obviously what's for saying, what a man's reach, right? You have to reach for the stars and you almost get there. But we have to reach for very high, but we can't reach for a level that's not realistic, because then when we don't succeed, we're just going to fall. Says the Divrei Mordechai, Kitivne, build the house, but put a gate. We can't tell ourselves, you know what? I'm going to do 3 hours of sleep. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do 3 hours of sleep. Let's be realistic. Maybe somebody could do that. But v'yasisa ma'akel agagecha, if we know that our body can't do that, then it's the Yetzirah telling us to do that. It's the Yetzirah. Remember the Chafetz Chaim. We're skipping for a second. The story 16, the Chafetz Chaim says sometimes the Yetzirah. Well, let's go back. The Pasuk says in Zechariah, V'ha-satan omid al yamino l'sitno. The Satan stands on our right to be the Satan. Ask the Chavetz Chaim, isn't the Satan like the bad Malach? He's on our left and the good Malach's on our right. What does it mean that the Satan is on our right? Omid al yamino l'sitno. Says the Chavetz Chaim, sometimes the Satan knows he can't get us. We're good. We're learning. We're davening. We're making brachas. We're working on ourselves. He knows he can't get us with an aveira. So you know what? He'll dress up as a mitzvah. He'll dress up as a mitzvah. It'll be 11:30, 12 o'clock in the Beis Medrash. Yeah, let's learn more till 2. Let's see what your chakras is going to look like. Says the Chavetz Chaim, sometimes he dresses up like a mitzvah. He dresses up just to fool us. Says we have to be realistic. Sometimes we might not know what's realistic. So we could talk to a Rebbe, we could talk to a friend, we could talk to a Mashgiach, that's fine. We need like an objective opinion. But it's crucial to be realistic. It's crucial to know, you know, what a human being needs. You know, outlets are crucial also. It's crucial. El is very intense. And being in yeshiva, learning all day is very intense. If there are outlets that you enjoy, do it. Do the outlets. Again, right now it's very hot during the day, so to go running or play ball in the afternoon is impossible. But there will be time. It does get cooler. It does get cooler for a few months. But whatever it is, whether it's to sleep, whether it's, I like to quote the Tiferes Yisrael on Mishnayos, right? One of the 48 Dvarim Shatorah Niknes Bahem, we know the Brisa of Perkei Avos, is Miyutzicha. Miyutzicha. So Pashtus Miyutzicha means don't talk so much. Just learn, don't talk so much. Says the Tiferes Yisrael, you need a little hak. It's a good thing. Miyutzicha, a little sikh is also good. You need it. You know, if you want to shmooze with the chavrusa for 2 minutes at the beginning and then in the middle, you know what, after you spent, you rack your antosis, you know, taking 90 seconds, it's okay. That's Dvarim Shatorah Niknes Bahem. Because that's being realistic. That's being realistic. Once there was a story about one of the previous golem of the previous generation. It was Nifter just a couple of years ago. I'm not going to mention the name, but it's an unusual story. The one time he came home after his man in yeshiva, and his parents were like, how are you? Great, wonderful. How are you? Chavrus is amazing. Hey, who are you learning with morning Seder? He's great. He's really a great Chavrusa. What's his name? We never spoke about that. I don't know his name. So it's kind of like strange for us. So I guess we need Yechidei Skula, Gedolim, like that. That wouldn't even take for a second to like, how are you? Nice to meet you. Connect on a human level. Okay, that's fine. But for us, you could get to know your chavrusa. And you could shmooze a little. Miyotzicha. It doesn't say marbesicha. Right? Miyotzicha. But a little bit is good. But again, that's part of being realistic. So again, we have to shoot for the stars. We have to shoot. We can't, like, I have to be realistic. I'll come to Davin by Yishtabach. No, that's not. No, we could be more realistic than that. You know, we could be more dreaming than that. But we have to realize, you know, it's a balance. It's a balance. But we have to do what we can to set up a schedule that is pushing us to the limits, going a little out of our comfort zone, but still being within the world of reality, building in time for various limudim, you know, doing what we can. Mishnayis is important. Chazara, obviously, is important. You know, to talk to people about how to build the, how to set it up, and to try to enjoy it. It's not an all. It's not an all. I'll end with the, again, I also, by the Zichron Lanz Chaim, different Rebbeim have different attitudes. I don't like to go crazy late because, you know, I want to make sure everybody gets some sleep and davening, etc. Everybody has their own shikulim. But they once came, the Rebbeinu Tanai Bishitz was once davening in shul, and his Talmidim was sitting next to him, and they thought they were saying amen to all of his berachos ha-shachar, and they thought he skipped one. The next day they listen again, and they skipped. He skipped one. He skipped Shlomo Asani Guy. Like, what's going on here? And at the times of Shabtai Tzvi, what's going on? Like, so they went to the Rebbe. I hate to be like a little chutzpah dick, but we think you skipped a bracha. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you didn't say Shlomo Asani Guy. He started smiling. They're like, what? You think I'm going to wait till I get to shul to say Shlomo Asani Guy? You think I'm going to wait the whole time to be able to, you know, to wait, brachas. When I get up in the morning, I'm so excited to be a Jew. Ashvenim atok alkenu. Spend my time learning and teaching and being involved in mitzvahs. I can't wait. I say it right when I get up. So again, we could say it in the state of our brachas. That's fine. But we could feel it. We could feel it. So all with a simcha. All with a simcha. As much as we could do, let's try to be open. Let's try to listen. Let's try to put it into practice as soon as we can. But let's try to be realistic to all of those dreams. But as Hashem, with all of this, Hashem should give us bracha and siyata d'shmaya in all of our learning, in all of our efforts. And He should see amazing nachas from all of us. Elul, we should all be zochet to a healthy year, a year of growth, a year of tremendous nachas ruach and satisfaction. And amazing, we should all be able to be happy as Avdei Hashem our entire lives. Okay, we'll talk there. Please, this half the cake is